Thank you, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, August 21st, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Among our top stories this evening,
Harare residents say commuter bus operators are making their life difficult by charging more for a ride since the city council's decision to move combis to the Coventry parking bay.
Gwanda municipality workers who went on strike yesterday demanding their outstanding 5 months worth of salaries return to work.
So that is the case, that state, it is called conciliation stage. And then if we agree at that stage, it means we are not going for any arbitration. But if we don't agree at that stage, it means that we have to find an arbitrator who will arbitrate the dispute.
And Zimbabwean analysts discussed the fatal shooting of a black American teen by a white police officer and how subsequent protests have captivated the international community.
We expect the government of America to decisively deal with the culprits responsible, hold them accountable, and ensure that justice is served on the victims and the families, which is something that we have not experienced with Zimbabwe.
Some Harare commuters are complaining that the recent move by the Harare City Council to move some commuter buses to the Coventry Road holding bay is worsening their financial plight, as operators have doubled fares from 50 cents or 5 rand to a dollar. Combined Harare Residents Association Chairman Simbarashe Moyo says after engaging with the commuter operators, they learned that the move was necessitated by the more time combis are spending parked at the holding bay instead of making trips. Early this month, the council commissioned the holding bay that can hold more than 700 combis in an effort to decongest the central business district. We spoke with Moyo earlier on.
Indeed, it is true. We have actually received these complaints, and it's emanating from the issue of the holding bay. Ever since the coming in of the issue of the holding bay, we had the commuter omnibus operators hiking fares in the route that they were charging 5 rand. They are now charging a dollar. And they are actually citing a number of reasons as to why they have increased these fares. They are saying they are spending most of their time parking at the holding bay, waiting for their train to get into town and then pick up commuters.
Is there anything you are planning to do about this as CRA?
First and foremost, let me say that there is a need for dialogue between the commuter omnibus operators and the city of Harare, as well as the residents, because what we are seeing here is something that has not been properly implemented. For instance, right now, we have got commuter omnibuses that are still getting into town, picking people at undesignated picking points, something that the issue of the holding day is trying to do away with.
That was CRA Chairman Simbarashe Moyo in Harare. Reached for a comment, the commuter operator's spokesman Farai Musa blamed unlicensed combis for the fare hike, saying they are taking advantage of the distance a registered commuter takes to get into town from Coventry Road holding bay. Musa said the registered operators are still charging normal fares depending on the route.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Gwanda municipality workers who went on strike yesterday demanding their outstanding 5 months' worth of salaries returned to work this afternoon after the government ordered them to suspend the industrial action and produce a show cause order on why they should continue with the strike. In April this year, the workers engaged in a similar industrial action, which was halted after the municipality agreed to normalize pay debts by this month, a promise which the workers say has not yet been fulfilled. Sipho Ndlovu, Gwanda branch chairman of the Zimbabwe Urban Council Union, tells reporter Standekile Mhlanga workers would discuss the issue with their employer and the Ministry of Labour on Monday.
So the minister himself directed the labour offices in Gwanda to suspend the strike
and then to call the both parties to his office so that they can start a stage, which is called conciliation stage. And then if we agree at that stage, it means we are not going for any arbitration. But if we don't agree at that stage, it means that we have to find an arbitrator who will arbitrate the dispute.
Earlier on, you said salaries are too high and they need to be reduced. Can you shed more light on this?
These people are Nicodemuses of today. They come to us during the night, the management, and they will tell us not to agree on salaries. But during the day, they will be with the policymakers, telling them that the workers are refusing to reduce their salaries. The thing is that the management, that their salaries topped up last year in April, where they went for a 77% increase. Then we discovered that we were cheated. And then that's when we went for a collective bargaining, and then we agreed that our salaries should be increased up to this level, which they are saying now is too high. But they are not talking of how the management cheated the council. Their salaries did not go through any collective bargaining. They just implemented what we call a job evaluation exercise by choosing the higher quartile.
That was the Sipho Ndlovu, Gwanda branch chairman of the Urban Council Union, on the line from Gwanda.
Gweru and Rishawane residents are excited by the prospect of having local commercial radio stations following Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe's public hearings today on two private players seeking to run the radio stations in the two towns. Correspondent Taurai Shava brings us more.
The residents were speaking today after the Broadcasting Authority of Zimbabwe held a public hearing over the application for a radio license by African Business Communications, which intends to run a station to be known as Fire FM. Gweru Councillor Kenneth Stole said the move is welcome, but warned that such a station should help create understanding and unity among locals, as well as uphold local norms and values. Another resident, who only identified herself as Lorraine, said she hoped that when established, the station would employ locals.
I think our government has actually come up with a brilliant idea, because now the people of Gweru, their voices can be heard. Issues can be articulated earlier, unlike when you're waiting for just one station to present your views. But also our main concern is that we have noticed from the panelists that came that most of them come from Harare. Thereby, we fear that the views of the people in Gweru, who actually stay in Gweru, might not be heard, because these people come from Harare and they've got ideas from Harare. So would actually encourage the firefighter team to employ people from Gweru.
A Gweru-based artist, Dumisani Ndlovu, said a local radio station would create opportunities for him and others.
As local artists, we benefit very much because we used to go for recordings in Harare and Bulawayo, which proved to be very expensive. But if the station happened to be here, then we can do everything without incurring unnecessary expenses.
AB Communications General Manager Susan Makore told BAZ commissioners and members of the public that Fire FM would have a variety of programs, including music, news and talk shows, adding they would primarily target the 18 to 24 age group, promising to prioritize issues of concern to youths. BAZ held a similar hearing in Shawane yesterday, where a company known as Ray of Hope intends to set up Ya FM radio station. Director Mnyaradzi Wengwere of Ray of Hope, who described Shawane as the fastest growing town in the country, promised that his station would offer a variety of programs catering for both the young and the old, and would also work to create employment for youths. A Rishawane youth who only identified herself as Rumbi said if established, she hoped that Ya FM would live up to its promise.
I'm hoping that the youth are helped in job creation and they get somewhere with their lives.
Rishawane Ngeza, House of Assembly member John Holder, said with radio reception continuing to be a problem in Rishawane, a local station would be most welcome. But Knox Liwayo, a Gweru resident, says instead of prioritizing private stations, BAZ should move with speed in establishing community radio stations, which he said would help ordinary people more. BAZ chairman Tafataona Mahoso said the issuing of community radio stations cannot be done at the moment, as the government has no money to fund the purchase of transmitters for the community stations. Mahoso could not be drawn into saying when the local commercial radio licenses would be issued, as the public hearings process has just begun. Reporting for Studio 7 from Gweru, this is Taurai Shava.
Thank you.
A Victoria Falls magistrate today acquitted four Bulawayo Agenda staffers who were on trial for holding public meetings without police clearance. The civic groups Meli Dube, Buteles Winyati, Tombie Sansi Totana, and Tulani Moyo were arrested in June after a meeting in the town's Kachechete ward. Prosecutors charged that their meeting was illegal. But today, Magistrate Sharon Rosemani acquitted the four, ruling the meetings were lawful and did not need police permission. Studio 7's Ntungamile Nkomo reached one of the four, Buteles Wenyati.
We are a delighted lot, the four of us, who were put behind the bars in Victoria Falls on the 28th of June and spent two nights and we appeared in court for trial on the 30th of July, where four state witnesses delivered their statements. And at the close of those submissions, our lawyer, Lizwe Chamela from the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, then applied for discharge of the case based on the submissions from the four witnesses. And the date was set, which is today, the 21st of August, for the court to decide on the merit of our application. And indeed, we are delighted that the magistrate has duly acquitted us. We have been found not guilty of having convened a meeting in Jovo Ward, Kachechete Ward in Victoria Falls. So as we speak, the four of us were arrested and charged with the failure to notify the police on convening a public meeting have been acquitted.
How are your colleagues feeling about today's ruling? They must be equally exhilarated.
Well, as human rights defenders, we have a lot of work that we do with the communities, and the more that you frequent a place trying to get through a court case, that tends to compromise your effectiveness. So we are a delighted lot. We now know we are free, and we will continue doing the great work that we are doing in the community. So indeed, we are breathing a huge sigh of relief. We are happy, we are free, and we will continue marching forward.
Buteles Winyati is a staffer with the civic group Bulawayo Agenda. You are speaking with Studio 7's Ntungamile Nkomo on the line from Victoria Falls.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. If you are in South Africa, listen to Studio 7 through the following number, 010-591-6465.
If you are in America or Canada, you can tune in to our phone number 712-432-5882. Once again, 712-432-5882.
If you are in Britain, call 033-00-10334. Once again, 033-00-10334.
Coming up,
a close look at the shooting in Ferguson, Missouri, in the United States, of a black teen by a white police officer.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
An Israeli airstrike in the southern Gaza Strip has killed three senior Hamas commanders. All three were killed today in the bombing of a four-story house in the town of Rafah, where they had led operations against the Jewish state for 20 years. Officials said the attack also killed at least three people. Hamas identified those kills as Mohammed Abu Shamale, Rayed Al-Attar, and Mohammed Bahum. Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Yalon said the three were responsible for deadly attacks against Israel, including the killing of Israeli soldiers and the 2006 kidnapping of soldier Gilead Shalit.
Russia's food safety agency is conducting safety checks on McDonald's fast food restaurants nationwide, a day after four of McDonald's most popular Moscow locations were ordered to close. Russian health authorities say today they are looking at possible breaches of sanitation rules at a number of McDonald's locations. The company operates in 438 locations throughout Russia. Critics say they view the government action as a form of retaliation for Western economic sanctions against Moscow, enacted as a result of Russia's involvement in Ukraine's internal conflict.
And one of the largest U.S. banks, the Bank of America, is paying a record fine of nearly $17 billion because of bad housing loans it sold to investors, helping trigger the world recession. It is the biggest settlement ever between the U.S. government and a private corporation. It was announced today by U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, who said Bank of America engaged in pervasive schemes to defraud investors buying the bad loans. The Bank of America penalty follows a combined $20 billion in fines already imposed on two other large banks, JP Morgan Chase and Citigroup, for their roles in selling weak home loans to investors ahead of the recession in 2008 and 2009.
The streets of Midwestern U.S. town of Ferguson, Missouri, have been much calmer overnight following 11 days of unrest after a local white police officer shot and killed an unarmed black teenager. The case has captivated international audiences around the world, with newspapers like The Herald castigating the United States for hypocrisy in failing to uphold the rights of black people in the country. Demonstrators in the United States have been taking to the streets to voice anger at the August 9 shooting of 18-year-old Michael Brown. Yesterday, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder met in Ferguson with the community leaders and residents of the town, saying he has assigned the federal government's most experienced agents and prosecutors to the case. Holder also spent time with Michael Brown's parents and promised them a fair and independent inquiry into the death of their son.
The United States has been criticized in newspapers around the world over the issue. The State Department yesterday rejected criticism from Egypt as well as comparison of the police shooting in Ferguson to situations in Egypt, China, or Zimbabwe that there are rights abuses in the United States. A grand jury investigating the fatal shooting of Brown has begun hearing evidence in the case. The grand jury will review evidence and determine whether to charge Officer Darren Wilson in the death of the teenager. Wilson is currently on paid leave, with Brown's family and supporters calling for his arrest. For perspective, a reporter at Atenda Gumbo turned to political analyst Tafazwa Msarara and Human Rights Watch researcher Dewa Mavinga. Mavinga says the police action after the shooting to death of Michael Brown should be condemned.
The rest of the world looks up to America to be the shining beacon of human rights respect and rule of law observance. So it's really a disappointing phase, which we hope the American government will decisively deal with in order to assert its authority globally as a leader in democracy and human rights respect.
Mr. Musarara, what's your take as we look at the events that are unfolding or continuing to unfold in Ferguson, Missouri?
First of all, I'd like to congratulate Mr. Mavinga for a very correct and concise analysis of the situation, and also for him condemning the American government. I hope you go a step further and stop receiving donor funds from such a murderous regime. What we see unfolding in this particular area is a manifestation of a racial legacy or a racial supremacy that has been perpetrated against the black race in that area. If you look at the statistics, it will tell you that four in every 10 black men are in prison or are on parole. And that shows that some of the arrests or those who are in incarceration are probably innocent citizens who were subjected to an unjust criminal proceedings and end up unfairly convicted. The hypocrisy is now out.
Mr. Mavinga, what's your take on what Mr. Musarara is pointing out?
Well, you know, what happens when we talk of human rights abuses is that from time to time, there might be incidents like this where people act outside of their authority and commit human rights abuses. Now, the test of America's commitment to human rights respect and observance of the rule of law is how they will react to these incidences in Ferguson. We expect, if America is really the shining beacon of human rights respect and democracy, we expect the government of America to decisively deal with the culprits responsible, hold them accountable, and ensure that justice is served on the victims and the families. which is something that we have not experienced with Zimbabwe. If you look at the major periods of human rights abuses in Zimbabwe, going back to the period of Kukurawundi in the early 80s, against the Ndebele people, going up to the violence around elections, the human rights violations around the evictions in 2005, Operation Mrambatina, to more recent times, the displacement of the people of Chingwizi, the Tokwe Mkosi flood victims. What we have not seen is a government that follows up and ensures that there is justice.
Mr. Musarara, some would say that what is happening here in the States is a mirror of what happens in some countries. For example, in Zimbabwe, where citizens are unable to freely protest issues that they're facing in regards to human rights. What's your response to that?
It is very suspicious when we hear examples being flaunted by Mr. Mavinga of the post-1980 era. Ms. Mavinga is deliberately and conveniently avoiding to mention the atrocious killings and the genocide committed by the white men in the Nyazonya and Chimoyo, in Morogoro and other camps in Zambia. Definitely, there's a reason why he doesn't talk about those injustices in those killings. But he would choose, of course, to talk about the Gukurawundi issues and the other, incidents that happened after that. Why? Because he's not objective in his analysis. He's bent to demean the ZANPF.
Mr. Mavinga, your response.
Well, this is the perennial problem of ZANPF supporters and ZANPF thinking that their abuses are justified on the basis of abuses taking place elsewhere. There is no justification for any government to abuse its own people and to compare its level of abuses to say, at least we have done this, but why don't you look at what was done by the Smith regime? There is no basis for comparison. We are talking about our own black government, our so-called liberators.
Mr. Msarara, your response on that issue?
Well, look, we have problems with Mr. Mavinga mentioning certain incidents and deliberately leaving others. For instance, we would expect him that the political parties must observe peace, must not be violent. And we are yet to hear him condemning the beatings of Mr. Mangoma and Trudy Stevenson, which were actually perpetrated by his kitchen king in MDC. So those are the issues now that start to say, look, are you being honest with the truth here? What is violence? Does violence only happen from a ZANPF angle only?
Mr. Mavinga, your last point on the issue of Ferguson and the view from the Zimbabwean angle.
Well, the view from the Zimbabwean angle is that any government, including the American government, needs to have strong institutions that can ensure that when such incidents as the Ferguson incident occur, there are mechanisms for redress. There are mechanisms for accountability, and there are mechanisms for justice, and that is part of the human rights framework. In Zimbabwe, we have not experienced this. We will not apportion blame, but it's safe to say that systems and mechanisms and institutions in Zimbabwe are too weak and they have not really been used to ensure that there is justice and accountability.
Mr. Msarara, your last point.
Well, we are seeing America domesticating it's international terrorism. It has been killing thousands of innocent children and women in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan. And now we're seeing it bringing that violence back home.
That was political analyst Afazwa Msarara. You also heard the views of Human Rights Watch researcher Dewa Mavinga.
Studio 7 is now available on Channel Zim on your WizTech free-to-air decoder from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Monday to Friday and from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. From your WizTech decoder, look for CH Zim. Channel Zim is available 24/7 on your satellite TV, smartphone, and online. To listen online, go to www.channelzim.net.
Due to technical installation work currently being undertaken on Channel Zim, there will be some disruption of programs with possible breaks in transmission in the next few days. Please bear with us as normal transmission will be restored as soon as possible. Any inconvenience caused is sincerely regretted. Please do not adjust your sets.
Listeners, please continue sending emails to your mailbag on studio7@voanews.com so we can read your messages on air. The address again, studio7@voanews.com.
Yes, Jonga, later on we will read some of the mails that we got from our listeners. But please remember to send also to our hotline +1 202 205 994 and dial 11 when the phone is answered to leave us your voice message, which we can play on air. The number once again is +1 202 205 9942 and then dial 11 to leave your message.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about polygamous marriages.
To join the discussion, please text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
In our sports news, Dynamos drew 1-1 with Wange in a Castolaga Premier Soccer League match played at Gwanzura Stadium in Harare today, while Highlanders played another match in Baba Fields where they beat Triangle 1-0. Dynamos now leads the PSL log with 36 points, with Highlanders trailing behind with 35 points, followed by ZPC Kariba, which was toppled from the top post by today and is now on the third position with 35 points. Dynamos Football Club soccer fan Fabian Mahembe says his team could have done better today.
Supporters, I think there's too much of pressure now. I believe in Calisto Paso as our coach. I think now he's supposed to talk to the players so that they understand the manage to handle the pressure, because we are seeing that we are leading by just a single point. And both clubs which are trailing us, that's Highlanders and ZPC, are playing very well. And considering also the fact that we've been winning on goal differences the past 2 seasons, this has actually given us a little bit of pressure, and we should just be able to hold this pressure so that we don't succumb at the end.
And also, some fans are asking that why is your club facing financial challenges? Could this have been the reason for why they failed to beat Wange outright instead of tying the match?
For sure, we cannot rule out that. The players are not being paid their dues. This would translate to bad performance on the field. Especially if we look at the situation whereby our captain, our skipper, Murapemurape and Rodi Ntungwa, exchanged some blows over these monetary issues. It's actually disturbing. And we don't really know as fans why we are still encountering such problems. Because Dynamos is a crowd puller. When we are playing at home, we go in numbers to support them. And this should translate into a good income for the club. But we don't know, especially considering again that Bangladesh is footing the salary bills for the players. I think our executive chairman should explain, because he's one of the luckiest chairmen of Dynamos Football Club. Was the other chairman, we actually survived from
good kicking. That was Dynamos Football Club soccer fan Fabian Mahembe speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mflanganyawuye from Harare.
And briefly, in our mailbag today, we have a letter from Mukoma Felix in South Africa. He says he feels better every time after listening to Studio 7 News. Keep on keeping on, he says in his email.
Fano Admire Fanto writes, I'm here to thank you for your excellent broadcasting. It helps us to get updated on what's around us. Thank you so much. I also seek your assistance. Maybe you are the very correct people to help me on this. I'm in search of my relatives. My father was Abisha Chifamba from Murewa, Darangwa village. I heard he is dead by now. For my relatives, please contact me on 0777-626-785 or mail me at fanuelademire@gmail.com. Please help me. I'm eagerly wishing to meet my relatives.
And in another letter, Mkoma Set Free Makaya from Bocha Marange Mtare says, you are very truthful. Sure, guys, keep up the good work. And you are be ever busy to tell us the news about what is going on in Zimbabwe. We'll keep on reading your emails. Please continue to send them. We have a lot to read. But Jonga, for now, we recap today's top stories.
Harare residents say commuter bus operators are making their life difficult by charging more for a ride since the city council's decision to move combis to the Coventry Road parking bay.
And Gwanda municipality workers who went on strike yesterday demanding outstanding salaries return to work.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Debele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.